The CBS Radio Network has invited Senator Robert Taft, Governor Earl Warren, former Governor Harold Stassen, General Dwight Eisenhower, Senator Estes Kefauver, Senator Robert Kerr, Senator Richard Russell, Mr. W. Averill Harriman, and Senator Brian McMahon to answer the question, is there a present danger of communism in government? As CBS Radio brings you Candidates and Issues. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. In order that the vigilance of you, the American voter, may be based on accurate information, the CBS Radio Network has invited all the leading candidates of the major parties to appear on this program each week to present their individual positions on the important issues of the campaign. They'll be introduced by CBS Radio correspondent Dwight Cook. To ensure that the candidates might be treated with equal fairness, we have drawn up some ground rules. Each candidate or his representative will be given the same amount of time. Within that time limit, he can say anything he wishes on the issue of the week. The order in which the men speak follows the order in which they made themselves available for the nomination of their party, with the list rotated each week. These, then, are the ground rules. And here are the candidates as Dwight Cook introduces Candidates and Issues.
Good evening and welcome to another Candidates and Issues broadcast, presented by CBS Radio so that you may know where the candidates stand on the most important issues of the campaign. To that end, we've been considering so far in the series the effectiveness of our foreign policy, the need of economic controls, new tax programs, and changes in labor management legislation. Tonight, we ask our candidate guests to state their positions on the issue. Is there a present danger of communism in government? 1 week from tonight, the candidates who accept our invitation will go on to answer the question, what measures would you support to provide economy in government operations? And 2 weeks from tonight, they confront the issue, would you support a Fair Employment Practices Act? Our first guest tonight is a Republican candidate for the presidential nomination of his party, the former governor of Minnesota, Harold E. Stassen. Now on leave from his present job as president of the University of Pennsylvania, Harold Stassen has spent the usual busy week of a presidential candidate. Last Wednesday, he was in New York attending a meeting of college presidents. After the meeting, he flew to Portland, Oregon, and spent 2 days there starting his campaign for the May 16th primary elections. Saturday, he flew to Detroit, held a press conference, and attended the United Nations Carnival. On Sunday, he went on to Morgantown, West Virginia, to make a speech before the Young Republican Club. Yesterday and part of today, he's been in Philadelphia, and tonight he's flying back to Oregon to continue his campaign. Now here is the stand of Harold E. Stassen, Republican, on our issue of the week. Is there a present danger of communism in government? Mr. Stassen.
There can be no question that that communist Politburo group in Moscow are bent on world domination if they can bring it about. And they do have subversion, infiltration, communist espionage as a principal method of operation. We have had cases in this country of the betrayal of the most important atomic secrets and diplomatic secrets to the Soviet Union. It's true, too, in other countries. Therefore, it is important that we be ever alert against the danger of communist infiltration and espionage. The steps I would urge that be taken in a new Republican administration come next January would be to start out with a complete review of the loyalty files. A careful judicial review, but a definite and thorough review. There have been too many cases in which communists and disloyal persons have finally been removed, and then it's been discovered that the important evidence was presented against them 3 and 4 years before the final removal. Therefore, I believe that the first step is a complete review of the loyalty files. And then, in the new appointees, we should insist upon unquestionable loyalty. The way to have a loyal government, a loyal administration, is to insist upon unquestionable loyalty on the part of the men and women who are appointed. With that, too, it's important that we insist upon the men and women of high standards of honesty and of moral ethics, because it's well to remember that one of the techniques the communists use all over the world is to reach in and get something on a public official or a governmental employee. whether it is a matter of moral standards or whether it is a matter of dishonesty, and then use the leverage, in essence, a type of blackmail, to get these employees to give them information that should not be given from the government. Therefore, I would emphasize that to safeguard against the internal danger from communism, we should have a very alert program of lifting the standards of the administration from a standpoint of honesty and moral standards and loyalty to America. General George Washington is reported to have made a statement in a crucial period in the battle for independence, in a night when the matter of the future of the troops was at stake. He is reported to have said to his adjutant, "Put only loyal Americans on guard tonight." When you view the world situation and you realize that success in the Cold War for America might be the key factor in preventing a hot war, then we should say now, "Put only loyal Americans on guard in the key departments of government and throughout the service of the United States in Washington."
There, in his own words, was the stand of Harold E. Stassen, Republican, on the issue, "Is there a present danger of communism in government?" Next, we turn from an ex-governor and a Republican to a senator and a Democrat, Estes Kefauver of Tennessee. This week, he too has been engaged in the typical cross-country campaigning of a presidential candidate. Senator Kefauver was in Florida last Tuesday for the primaries and then flew up to Princeton to speak before the New Jersey Democratic delegates. For the next 2 days, he's been campaigning in the East. Then on Friday, Senator Kefauver started back west, making a stop in Indianapolis just long enough to call on Indiana's Governor Schricker. Then he went on to Salt Lake City, where on Saturday he addressed the Utah Democratic State Convention. Sunday, the senator was in Denver. Yesterday, he was in Wyoming. And today, he's in Oregon, where he'll campaign for the next 3 days. Now, here is Senator Estes Kefauver, Democrat of Tennessee, giving his stand on our issue of the week. Is there a present danger of communism in government? Senator Kefauver.
We all know that there has been some communist infiltration in government. It has hurt us most when this infiltration has been in certain activities of the armed forces. The greatest loss we have sustained from communist spies was in the loss of atomic bomb secrets. The communists were able to get hold of our most precious and our most secret information in that case. It is important to remember that this was done in the face of military and atomic security regulations, which are the most strict that we can maintain. I think that we must maintain an unrelaxing vigil in keeping communists out of the government. The security program, with its checks by the civil service investigators and the FBI, makes it extremely unlikely that a communist or a known sympathizer can be employed by the federal government today. The so-called loyalty program has been pursued with great vigor in the executive branch of the government. It is doubtful that many communists have escaped the thousands of searching investigations. In general, I think that the approach of the FBI under Mr. J. Edgar Hoover has been a sound one. We have every reason to have confidence in the FBI. There's another side to the security program that troubles many people, including myself. In our hurry to get the job done, and because of its vastness, mistakes have been made. This is not the sort of problem which can be solved in an atmosphere of hysteria. The security regulations today are so broad that we should make sure that the men and women who sit in judgment on their fellow citizens should be of the finest judicial temperament and of the greatest possible wisdom. The fact that has come from this great mass investigation of federal employees is that the overwhelming majority of them are persons of absolute loyalty to their country. We can all take pride that this is so. Federal employees as a whole are hardworking, faithful servants of their government. We must never forget that fact, that while we are getting the rotten apples out of the barrel, let us certainly ferret out the communists, but let us not become hysterical about it. We must not weaken our basic freedoms. In our zeal, we must not smear and ruin innocent people. And let's remember that the basic fact The basic fight against communism is in the elimination of hunger, of want. The basic remedy is to make our own democracy work better.
That was Senator Estes Kefauver, Democrat of Tennessee, in his special statement on our question, is there a present danger of communism in government? Next in line in this Candidates and Issues program is another Democrat, Senator Robert S. Kerr of Oklahoma. For the past 7 days, Senator Kerr's time has been principally taken up with radio and television broadcasts and his Senate work. The senator has gone back and forth between New York and Washington the entire week covering these activities. But of course, like all the other candidates for the presidential nominations of their parties, Senator Kerr is keeping a close eye on the current primary and convention developments. Certainly, this is a busy time for the voters in many states. Last Saturday, there were Democratic conventions in Michigan and Utah, while yesterday, Wyoming held conventions for both major parties. Today, as you know, the citizens of West Virginia have been voting in their primaries. Friday will be the date of the very important Oregon primary, and next Saturday, its neighbor Washington holds its Democratic convention. Now is information for all of us who will be voting in the forthcoming primaries and in next fall's presidential elections. Here is Senator Robert S. Kerr, Democrat, with his stand on the issue, is there a present danger of communism in government? Senator Kerr.
Where men are free to enjoy all the rights and privileges guaranteed under our Constitution, there will be abuses of that freedom. Some use the privilege of freedom of speech to advocate changes which would result in the loss of the privilege. Thus, misguided fools or traitors or enemies within our gates seek to promote the deadly ideology of communism. This means that there is present danger of communism in government and out of government. Eternal vigilance is still the price of liberty. Therefore, we must be even more diligent in keeping communists out of government than they are in trying to worm their way into it. The Immigration Service and the FBI, as well as other law enforcement agencies, are constantly on the lookout to find and identify every communist in the country. There is good reason to believe that practically every communist now in the nation is known to and watched by the FBI. That additional entrants or recruits will be found and cataloged as rapidly as they appear. Because of this, it is believed that there are no known communists presently in government. This does not mean the danger no longer exists. Far from it. Since the avowed purpose of communism is to take over government, either by treachery, deceit, or violence, the danger will continue to exist. Thus, the necessity for adequate countermeasures and constant alertness will likewise continue. I believe we now have very effective security controls. They are the result of years of study and operation of laws which have been developed as the result of almost unanimous purpose and effort to provide the greatest degree of safety possible. We have the government loyalty program. Loyalty boards have been set up and operate in all the departments and agencies of government. Every employee has been, and new ones are, questioned. And where there is any suspicion, full investigation is conducted by the FBI. Where there is any reasonable doubt as to the employee's loyalty, he is dismissed. The Hatch Act provided special penalties for a federal employee to receive pay and at the same time advocate the overthrow of the government or belong to an organization that advocates such overthrow. The president has authorized and directed the attorney general to find out and publish the names and identities of all subversive organizations. This is being done, and the list is kept current. The most recent major act of Congress seeking to guard internal security is the McCarran Act. It is primarily designed to compel registration and the identification of communists and communist organizations. It also strengthens the immigration laws and provides effective means of handling known communists in event of war with any communistic country. In addition to all of these measures, Congress carries on constant investigation by the House Un-American Activities Committee and by certain committees of the Senate. If at any time there should be evidence that present security controls are ineffective or inadequate, necessary steps will be taken either to better operate present controls or improve them.
That was the stand, as recorded for us in his own words, of Senator Robert S. Kerr, Democrat of Oklahoma, on the question of present danger of communism in government. Next, we turn to another Democratic senator and candidate for the presidential nomination of his party, Brian McMahon of Connecticut. For the last 7 days, Senator McMahon's week has been devoted almost exclusively to his Senate duties. Besides attending the sessions of the Senate, he attended many committee meetings, including hearings of the Senate Interstate and Commerce Committee, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the Majority Policy Committee. Mr. McMahon has also been presiding over the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy. Yesterday and today, he's been at work at his two desks, in the Senate office building and on the Senate floor. Now here's Senator Brian McMahon, Democrat of Connecticut, to tell us where he stands on the question, is there a present danger of communism in government? Senator McMahon.
Of course there is a danger of communism in government. This danger will exist just as long as Stalin's worldwide conspiracy against the free world exists. He is trying to get helpers in every free country, and we have got to be on our guard. Some 5 years ago, the need was recognized for machinery to prevent their infiltration into government. A loyalty program, so-called, was instituted that eliminates potential fifth columnists from our government services and at the same time protects our hard-won civil liberties. Vigorous prosecution of all those who would be disloyal to the United States has been undertaken. I think our loyalty program is working very effectively, although, of course, we want to keep it under constant review. The machinery which can give us absolute protection against treason has not yet been invented. And there isn't much we can do about this unless we find some way of getting greater military security with fewer tanks and artillery pieces and machine guns. Now, I think there is such a way. Dollar for dollar, atomic weapons are hundreds of times cheaper and more destructive than ordinary TNT. One plane loaded with an atomic bomb can do the job of 100 planes loaded with ordinary blockbusters. One hydrogen bomb, when they come to be made, can do more to keep Stalin out of Europe than 100 tanks. I have, therefore, been urging that we go all out. And I have been successful, in good part, we go all out in producing atomic weapons and in substituting them for conventional armaments as quickly as we can. I have been urging that we build a real atomic army, an atomic navy, and an atomic air force. In this way, by replacing old-fashioned and expensive conventional weapons with modern and cheap atomic weapons wherever possible, I think we can get far greater security at far less overall cost to the taxpayer. I estimate that we can save several dollars on ordinary armaments for every extra dollar we spend on atomic armaments. Now, here is the only real way I know of to get real economy in the field where economy is really needed, in the field of military spending.
That was the position of Senator Brian McMahon, Democrat, on our issue of the week. Now we turn to a Republican and a governor, Earl Warren of California. Here are the measures Mr. Warren advocates to provide economy in government operations. Governor Warren.
Economy is more a state of mind than positive law, more a matter of good housekeeping than legal magic. It calls for thrift, sound management, and a determination to live within our means. This is true whether we are dealing with the finances of a home, a business, or a government. The principles involved in financing in all of them are identical. Spending habits either maintain solvency or lead eventually to insolvency. There is a looseness in current federal spending that represents a dangerous trend. There is belief in some quarters that the mere spending of money can solve our domestic and foreign problems and at the same time maintain political control. The latter may be true for a time, but here even, there is always a day of reckoning as well. More important in government spending is the approach we make to our problems, the soundness with which we think our problems through, the final objective to be achieved by them in relation to our other activities of government, and our ultimate ability to pay for them. There must be no overlapping or duplication of functions, because these things represent waste of both manpower and money. Manpower that could be productive in other fields, and money that could as well remain in the pocket of the taxpayer. There must be a determination to stop the deficit financing, which for the last 20 years has become the pattern of spending in times of peace as well as in times of war. If the budget submitted by the administration for next year is adopted by Congress, we will add $14 billion to the colossal debt we already owe. For 20 years, the Democratic administration has manifested no concern over this change in our national spending habits. We were even told, while the practice was developing, that the amount of the national debt is immaterial because we merely owe it to ourselves. We need an administration in Washington that is interested in balancing the budget. We need an administration that shows concern over deficit spending. We need an administration willing to do something about reducing the size of our national debt. We need an administration concerned enough and brave enough to reassess honestly and fearlessly all services and expenditures in the light of current financial trends, taxes, and world requirements. Our greatest need today, if we are to have economy and government, is new leadership in Washington that is free to attack our financial problems with an objectiveness that is entirely unhampered by entrenched patronage, ambitious bureaucracy, or just plain tiredness. We need a new, fresh, and virile approach to the problem. We need a Republican administration.
There, in his own words, was the stand of Governor Warren, Republican of California, on the question, what measures would you support to provide economy in government operations? Each week, we change the order in which our guests appear on Candidates and Issues, so that each presidential candidate who's accepted our invitation shall have an equal chance to open and to close these broadcasts. So tonight, our closing candidate guest is another Republican, Harold E. Stassen, former governor of Minnesota, now on leave as president of the University of Pennsylvania. Here is his stand on economy in government operations. Mr. Stassen.
I am convinced that billions of dollars can be saved in the federal government by an efficient economic administration with a thorough reorganization and streamlining of the departments of government. It is, of course, true that the great majority of employees are honest, are efficient, are trying to do a good job. But it is also true that in these past 7 years, the government has become shot through with more loafers and more corruption than in any 7 years in our nation's history. That's why I'm urging so strongly the men and women of all parties, those who've been voting Democratic, those who consider themselves independent voters, and the new voters, to join in November with our Republican Party to make a thorough clean out and a real reorganization. It is our estimate, based on a study of what's happening in the departments, that about 200,000 loafers that are now on the federal payrolls could be eliminated, could be taken off the payrolls, and we could give the people better service afterward than before. Through steps of this kind, we could bring the budget into balance, and bring it into balance without cutting out any important or vital services. In fact, I believe the defense itself could be better organized, the service to the people could be improved under such a reorganization, because you hear many reports that those who are trying to do a conscientious job, those who stand out like a rock of integrity in the midst of the corruption, are very much disappointed and frustrated as to the way in which their departments are being conducted with so much of loafing and so much of dishonesty spoiling its record. It is my view further that one of the ways to save money in government is to appoint a very young cabinet, a young group of administrators, And as you know, I have also taken the stand that among that cabinet, there should be two outstanding women of America. I believe that if you lift the caliber of top administration, and then if you inspire them in the service they're to give to the people, and have a young, able group that can do the long work, can stand the tensions, and can get things done, that then spreads throughout a government and has marvelous results. That means, of course, that you do have them turn to senior advice and counsel. It is the proper relationship. Those who've had long experience and whose own loyalty and patriotism cannot be questioned should be looked upon for advice and counsel. And then in the direct, difficult, tense, active work of administering these huge departments in a modern government, there have a young, keen group seeking to make a great record for their country. By these means, billions can be saved, the budget can be balanced, and it will be good for America.
That was former Governor Harold Stassen, Republican, discussing the measures he would support for economy and government operations. Now that you've heard the candidates, perhaps you'd like to hear the latest figures on the delegates our invited candidates have captured thus far in their races for the presidential nominations of their parties. Here is the box score so far as compiled by the Associated Press, but not including today's Democratic convention in Montana. For the Democrats, with 690 delegates so far chosen and 616 needed for nomination, Senator Kefauver has 101.5 delegates pledged to him. W. Averill Harriman has 92. Senator Russell has 47, and Senator Kerr has 34. The other 416.5 delegates so far chosen for the Democratic Convention are either unpledged or now supporting some favorite son candidates. On the Republican side, with 903 delegates chosen and 603 needed for nomination, here are the delegates now pledged to the candidates who've been invited to appear on our program. Senator Robert A. Taft has 374 delegates. General Eisenhower has 337. Ex-Governor Stassen has 23, and Governor Warren has 6. That's according to the Associated Press, but Senator Robert Taft's official headquarters disputes these figures, where the AP gives Senator Taft 374 delegates, and the United Press gives him 379. Taft's headquarters say the senator now has 463 delegates. Whoever is right as of now, these scores will change as other states hold their primaries and their political conventions. And those scores in turn will change into the final nominating balloting for presidential candidates next July. In the meantime, as more information on which to vote your voting decision, next week Candidates and Issues turns to another question in domestic affairs. We will invite the candidates to tell us where they stand on the issue, would you support a federal Fair Employment Practices Act? As the series continues each week until the first convention next July, we will deal with other important issues of this election year. And as the campaign develops, there may be new issues brought forward by the candidates. They will be included in our series as part of the essential function of Candidates and Issues to give you accurate and first-hand information on where the candidates stand so that you can then use that information by voting for what you want. I've been reporting to you in these programs how poor our American voting record has been in recent elections, with almost half of us who are eligible to vote not bothering to do so. Some of you have written to me to ask whether your own state's record was above or below the national average. So here are a few of the voting averages in typical states. Remember, the national average for 48 was 51% voting. Three mountain states and a small eastern state have about the brightest averages. In Montana, in 1948, 70% of the potential voters 21 years or over went to the poll. In Colorado, the figure was even higher, 71%. The same figure also goes for Delaware. And Utah's record was really terrific. A neat 75% of the potential voters made their votes count. But I'm sorry to have to report that the worst voting averages have been chalked up in the South. Compared to that 75% figure, in both Georgia and Arkansas, only 22% of the potential voters went to the polls. Mississippi had an even lower record, 17%, and two other southern states tied for the lowest number of citizens voting anywhere in the country, Alabama and South Carolina.
In each of these states, only 14% of the American citizens 21 and over voted and helped shape their country's future. This is Dwight Cook.
The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. In order that the vigilance of the American voter may be based on accurate information, CBS Radio has just brought you the eighth in the unique and important series, Candidates and Issues. For the first time in the history of radio broadcasting, you've been able to hear all the leading candidates of the major parties who so desired present their views on the same issue within the same transcribed half hour. Next week at this time, we will again invite our guests to answer the question, would you support a federal fair employment practices law? The candidates were introduced by CBS radio correspondent Dwight Cook. Candidates and Issues with Dwight Cook is produced by Al Morgan for CBS Radio's Department of Public Affairs. You can have free the valuable convention handbook prepared by Time Magazine and distributed by CBS Radio. Send it Time, CBS, Chicago 90, Illinois. This is the CBS Radio Network.